HRHeadquarters.ie, the podcast.
Brought to you by Irish Life Health.
Okay, so today I am joined by Mick Lavin. Mick is an organisational team, agile coach and mentor. Mick, thanks for joining us on the podcast. How are you today?
Hi, Declan. I'm good, thanks. How are you?
Doing really good. Thank you very much. Mick, I'm going to jump straight in. I think something people still get confused on is the difference between mentor and coach. Maybe you can shed some light on this before we get into some other topics.
So it probably doesn't help that I'll describe myself as both a coach and a mentor then, but there is a difference. But for myself, I'm 30 years in the technology industry. I have worked in 7 countries across 3 continents. Main focus of that work has been kind of working with technology teams and the leadership of those teams. I'm a European Mentoring and Coaching Council accredited coach and mentor, and I'm a member of the Business Agility Institute. One of the things I'm passionate about is learning and development. So that's people learning and people development.
And when does someone use a coach, Mick, and when does someone use a mentor?
So a coach will generally help you figure out where it is you want to go, what it is you want to do. And that can be very useful because a lot of people feel that, you know, kind of they get stuck. They don't know what to do, where to go, who it is I am, what I want to accomplish. A coach can work with somebody to help them understand that, those internal drivers, to clarify for them those internal drivers. When you're talking about somebody's made a decision, they realize where they want to go, what they want to do, a mentor can be very useful in helping a person get there. So the mentor can not so much show, but they can work with the person to share their story, their experience, how they got to that position, how they got to that place in work or in life. So it can be quite useful to have that context. A mentor generally has a context similar to what it is the mentee needs. A coach may not have context, but can help about the motivation, the drivers, and the behavior that's used. A mentor may show role modeling for the behaviors that will get a person to that position. Whereas a coach may hold up a mirror to a person to say, you know, well, these are the behaviors you're exhibiting. Do you think they're going to bring you to that place and work from there? Maybe the coach will work on what's your impact on the team that you're working with, the people around you. Whereas a mentor can show you then how they've dealt with situations where they were confronted with that.
Well, that's an interesting distinction. Is coach maybe a little bit more strategic, mentor a little bit more tactical? Would that be fair?
That could be a fair statement, yeah.
And I think one thing I know you're very interested in is leadership coaching, as you said in your intro there. When do leaders need a coach? I think a lot of leaders, you know, want to appear as they are in complete control and they know it all. I don't mean that in a derogatory way. So when is leadership coaching apt, or when is it necessary?
So I think, well, there's a difference between somebody getting to the position of leadership and then how they behave in that leadership position. So you'll find a lot of people land in a leadership position because they were an expert in their field. There was nowhere else to go. So they've landed there, but they've not had training. And they've not had experience of being a leader to lead the team that maybe they've just come from. They tend to want to know everything that's going on, control things, direct the team. These things in leaders are not generally good behaviors. And when a team then maybe reacts to this, the leader may feel they're failing, may wonder why they're there, what it is they need. A mentor is useful in that case to show the team leader, to the new leader, to help them understand what it is, the behaviors they're exhibiting. However, a coach can show them what their impact is on the team. They can be there for them to say, you know, where is it, what is it you want to share with the team? How is it you want to be seen by the team? And what you're doing now, is that going to get you there? So the coaching part of that is more about how we would understand our behavior, how that behavior impacts others, and how we can change that behavior in the long term. The mentor may take that more tactical approach and say, well, hey, you know, if you do this, potentially the results will be that, is that where you want to go? What I did when I was in that position was I looked at it this way. So there's a difference between sharing the experience or looking at what you want to accomplish or motivation for going there, the goals you want to set.
And when someone, typically who decides that the new leader in your example needs coaching? Do you think that has to be a realization the person comes to themselves, or can they be led to that, or what's your views?
I think it should be a realization they come to themselves, but it could also be a service that a company offers their employees. What we've seen previously is that people get assigned a coach and there's no real understanding as to why that is. Is it a correctional thing, or is it something that's been, or is it a benefit? The employee, the coachee, doesn't really know what it is. So I think we should be clear that coaching is for development purposes. It's not for correctional purposes. And it has to be something that the coachee wants. It has to be something that person feels they need. Otherwise, it won't go anywhere. You can't impose a coach on somebody, because you will never get any real truths uncovered in that relationship. If the person understands that the benefit is there and they think they should try that, then I think they can reap great rewards. And the company providing that service will reap great rewards as well, because typically you see people who were a good engineer or a good HR person, a good finance accountant, promoted to a leadership position. You need to replace them. And if they don't match up to the skill set you want, then you're stuck for two positions, really. So providing that support to the person as they transition into the new role can be very helpful for the organization as well. As we know, the cost of hiring is very, very high. So being able to avoid that and avoid having people feel they weren't supported and becoming quiet quitters or actually actively working against the organization is a benefit for everybody.
And you mentioned there that coaching helps them develop. So with a newly appointed leader, when they begin the coaching relationship with their coach, is it normal for there to be a specific thing that they're trying to develop, or is it more holistic, a wider approach to leadership in your view?
In my experience, one of the issues that new leaders or people transitioning into new roles have is a thing called imposter syndrome. They wonder why they're there. They wonder, are they qualified for that position? Are they ready for that position? Because they may have had a couple of early setbacks where they just didn't know how to deal with those things. One of the things a coach can do is to help the person understand where that sense of insecurity is coming from and work with them on a program to help them develop out of that into the leader that they potentially are already. They just don't quite realize it yet. So in that transitionary period, it's great to have that support so that people do understand what's going on in their own space, what's holding them back from actually being that leader they want to be.
Very interesting. And you mentioned as well the relationship between the coach and the coachee. How important is that? Should they fire each other if it's not working early on?
Absolutely.
I mean that in the best sense of that, if that can be in the best sense. But yeah, talk to me about that relationship. How important is it?
Yeah,
where does it work? Where does it go wrong?
The relationship, if it's not working out, I mean, if there's no chemistry there, then the relationship should not continue. There is little point to it, because how are they going to build that trust into the relationship so that they can work together in real terms and actually come to positive outcomes? So for an employee working with a coach, it's probably less easy than it is for a coach with experience. A coach with experience may be able to work with people even if there are triggers or things that don't quite fit, because they have the experience to work with it and they probably attend coach supervision to help them deal with those triggers. But for a coachee who may never have been coached before, it's very difficult if they find themselves in a place where they're not comfortable working with somebody who's perceived as an expert, then things will go from probably bad to worse rather than get better.
Just something that occurs to me as we're talking. Some larger organizations have internal coaches, and then lots of other organizations who work with coaches bring people in from outside. What's your thoughts on the distinction? I mean, I can see some immediate worries in terms of internal coaching, if I'm being honest. And I know you're an external coach, and I'm not playing to your field, but you know, how honest will you be with an internal coach if you believe they're badly positioned for you?
That's so I've been both an internal coach and an external coach. Internal coaching is difficult in a way that it is difficult to build that trust within the organization. However, I will say that if you lose the trust, you may as well look for a different position, different job, because if you don't have the trust of the people you work with, and if you don't have that confidentiality built into those conversations, then you won't have developmental conversations with those people, because some people may come to you and say, do you know what? I'm unhappy with the organization. My goal is to leave. And you, as a coach in an internal environment, if you can't help them figure out, one, how they could stay, but also how they could leave gracefully, then you're not really going to be much use to those people or the organization. As an external coach coming in, you don't have that problem with trust initially, although there may be, people may question the motivation of bringing in the coach from external. So that may be a question that arises, but you will be seen probably as more, as less biased in that way. Although if you're chasing the next paycheck, people may also question that too. As an external coach, though, you're not part of the system. As an internal coach, you are part of the system that you operate within. So the motivations of the organization may be reflected in how you work with your clients. With an external one, it may be much easier for them to understand quickly, perhaps, what's going on in the organization or not, and actually question those things, which in itself may bring up issues in the organization that were not clear to the people within the system. Becoming part of the system can be something, and is something that internal coaches need to be aware of.
Yeah, there's some definite parallels there, I think, for our listeners with HR, and you know, who do they work for? Do they work for the employee, or do they work for the organization? Going to take a quick break, but we'll be right back.
Getting buy-in on your people strategy can often be challenging, but it doesn't have to be. At Irish Life Health, we help HR leaders to unlock insights and make data-driven HR decisions. Join over 2,500 HR leaders who partner with us to help their employees live a healthier life. Search Irish Life Health to find out more. Irish Life Health Act is regulated by the Central Bank of Ireland.
Mick, you've worked across lots of jurisdictions, lots of countries, international companies. How does coaching work across different countries and different cultures, or any thoughts on that?
Yeah, so coaching, you know, as we may understand it from the kind of where I was taught was in Ireland, coaching. I grew up in an environment that was Irish, yet I worked with many multinational companies, and I've worked in a number of different countries. And the way people interact with each other differs across those different cultures. So when we're coaching, a lot of the coaching that you'll get into an organization is this goal-focused or solution-focused coaching, where people are looking for outcomes, they're looking for quick wins, an organization is looking for their employees to develop quickly better. And that can be quite difficult if you're working in a multinational, multicultural environment, because people may see they have different priorities depending on how they see themselves in the society, the organization, the group they're in. So it can be quite difficult as a coach to work with people if an organization has said, you know, we want laser-focused, goal-focused, solution-oriented stuff happening, and you find that that's not something you can accomplish with some of the people in the organization. And that's not even culturally true. That could be true of anybody in the organization, because they've had different influences in the way they show up. So working with those people, a coach needs to understand, or at least be able to read the signals that are coming from people to say that, yes, they're comfortable or not comfortable with this goal-focused approach. They're comfortable or not comfortable with a kind of way of working around things to find a direction going forward. I recently did a webinar, and it was with the European Mentoring and Coaching Council, and it was on the term agency. So our ability to affect a solution, a situation, a result. And in different cultures, that term agency is understood very differently. In our kind of Irish environment, it's more seen as what I can do for me to get to there. But in an Asian culture, it may be seen as what we can do together to get from here to there. And how does that impact the whole rather than just me as the individual? So this focus on kind of individual or collective can have very different outcomes for where a coaching relationship goes. And as a coach, trying to work within certain frameworks, such as the GROW model or OSCAR model, which are solution focused, may not work. You may want to look at different solutions. I recently had a conversation about Ubuntu coaching. I see you, therefore I am. So how does that relate in a coaching operation, or Irshad, Islamic coaching, where predestination may already be decided? So you don't know how you're going to go there because it may already be decided for you by culture, by belief system. So as a coach, you need to be very aware of the system that you create around those people that you're working with.
And just related to that, because obviously you've touched on some really, what's the word I'm looking for? It's that's complex. And if you don't understand it, if you went into that blind, you could really, really, it could go badly very quickly. Do you need a deep understanding of that culture, or do you just need a deep understanding that you don't know that culture?
I think the deep understanding you don't know is, so coming with curiosity and humility to the situation is probably the best approach to that. I mean, we all make blunders when we're dealing interculturally. We all do that. Whether you've experienced or not, you had to learn somewhere. Sometimes those blunders are actually useful because they show the difference in what may be expected in one organizational environment and what's expected by the person themselves. So that can sometimes be refreshing to surface these differences, these misunderstandings, and then help explore them a little bit further. But if you don't have the experience and you push on with that one way of doing it without reading the room, as we say, then it can lead to very poor outcomes from a coaching relationship. So it's more understanding that you don't understand everything, being able to read the person, the situation, and to be able to change tack in the moment to decide maybe a different approach is where I want to take this conversation.
And do organizations organizations approach it differently internationally? I always feel we're getting a very Americanized, if I'm being honest, version of things. What's your experience of how organizations approach it in other countries?
Organizations complicate things by having their own organizational culture. So we can't make assumptions about the people we sit across from because of how they look or where they're from, because the organization has an impact as well, but also that individual may not have grown up where we think they grew up. If we make those assumptions, we already bring a bias to this, and we bring an assumption into the conversation, and we direct it in a way that is possibly not the way to go. But organizations too have their own culture. And you may see that from somebody who comes from X place, working in Y place, but has worked in a number of other places before. They will bring a totally different, that will confound you if you make those assumptions. How organizations bring some of their home country cultures to offices abroad, that also should probably be thought about a little bit more deeply, because some of those things don't translate.
Yeah, fair point. it's not all about bean bags and pool tables to implement your culture somewhere.
Exactly.
Last thing, you've mentioned accreditation a lot as we've spoken. It's something I'm very interested in this space. Sometimes it can feel like everybody is calling themselves a coach at the moment. What's your views on accreditation? What should organizations look for when they're choosing to work with coaches?
So if you're looking for a financial accountant, would you hire one without a qualification? The answer is probably no, because they may not know anything about financial accountancy. They may have studied by themselves, they may understand some stuff, but do they know how it's done in an organization where there's legal requirements? They may not. They may know how to do the sums, but not how to do the governance. Getting accredited as a coach, I feel, is a very important thing, because one, it ensures that you've had proper training. Two, it gives you a sense of where you are in your journey to becoming a coach. And that can be quite a long journey. So to understand that you've worked with, it provides a proof that you've worked with a number of clients. It provides a proof that you've had outcomes that are positive with those clients. It provides a way of knowing that the person you're hiring does have the qualifications to do the job. Having said that, there are many accreditations out there. Some are more valid than others. If you do an online course that promises you an accreditation, it's probably not a very good standard accreditation, but most companies will do their due diligence on that. So some of the larger organizations will be guaranteed a certain level of qualification. And I know that the organization I'm accredited with, the European Mentoring and Coaching Council, they're working with the European Union to validate and to regulate the coaching industry. So in terms of where you're going to get to as a coach, it's good to invest in your own development, training. And in fairness, if you're going into an organizational context as a coach, how can you tell people you're not investing in your own learning and development and expect them to do the same? Accreditation for me is very important, and it's something that all organizations should look at to ensure that they are buying a quality service into their organization.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more with that. I think it's paramount. I think most bigger organizations will, as you say, do that due diligence. I would just personally encourage anyone who is sourcing their own coach for their own career and paying for it, if I'm being honest, directly to have the same level of due diligence. I think it makes sense. Last thing, sorry, a bonus question. What do you think makes a good coach, or what traits do you think makes a good coach?
I think I mentioned those earlier, is curiosity and humility. Curious to know what's going on for the coachee, and humble not to make those assumptions that we all make, and to admit exactly when you got it wrong, to hold your hand up and say, oof, I think I made the wrong assumption there. Can we begin again with that? Tell me more.
Yeah, very good. Okay, Mick Lavin is organizational team, agile coach and mentor. Mick, how can people get in contact if they want to talk to you about coaching and or mentoring?
They can check my website, which is micklavin.com, or they can contact me directly at mick@micklavin.com.
Brilliant. Mick, thanks for taking the time today.
Thank you, Declan. Bye-bye.
HRHeadquarters.ie, the podcast. Brought to you by Irish Life Health.